conversation with it at some point. Today is not going to be that day where I do that, though. But I was speaking some last week on prophetic ministry. I think there's foundation truths to the Christian faith, foundational doctrines, you know, just shall live by faith, sanctification, grace, things like that. And I'm going to keep going back and forth to Romans, but there's also some spiritual foundations as well. And I spoke a few weeks ago on praying in tongues. And I actually sent that to my nephew. I think I told you when they were at our house a year ago, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in my house. It was the coolest thing. He was the most open guy I ever prayed for probably in my life. He just started praying in tongues right up there. And so I actually sent him, was talking to him, and they went on a vacation. He was witnessing to a guy. I told him I would tell this. He was witnessing to someone there in an island about Jesus. He's 13 years old, 12, 13 years old. And I said, that's hard for anyone to do, you know. I said, that's a testimony and a witness to all of us. 12, 13 years old, he's going up to strangers on the islands and telling them about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Something that can trigger me to do that. And I was telling him about Bob Gilligan's story, if you remember that. A few weeks ago, he was in Los Angeles, and the guy came up to him. I've been telling that story often. And the guy came up to him, and he said, why is this guy here? Why is he talking to me? Would you just get away? And the very next day, he passed away. I was like, this guy was a divine appointment for me. You never waste those opportunities. And you use wisdom. There's wisdom, and I don't have to go 100% first time unless the Holy Spirit's directing you to do that and you're led that way. But it's quite a reminder, I think. I'm around this person. How can I minister to them? How can I share Jesus with them? You know, that strikes me often. So my 13-year-old nephew, 12 or 13 years old, is an example for me, an example for you as well. Find opportunities to share about Jesus and not be ashamed or afraid of it. Amen?
Amen.
One of the most crippling things we deal with is the body of Christ, and I've been guilty of it. All of us is fear of man and fear of speaking up and having our voice heard. And it's one of the things, if we deal with prophetic ministry, talking about, the Lord can use us to speak to someone. One of the greatest hindrances is fear. And I've been in a meeting before, and where this happened a lot when Bible school, the Lord helped me a lot, but the Lord would give me something, and I would be too afraid to speak it out. The Lord would drop something in my heart, and I just, well, what if I'm off? What if I sound funny to this guy? What if I don't do it with the same gusto the guy over there did it with? And I waste those moments. And what happens? Holy Spirit, he's a good God. He says, okay, you're not going to do it. I'm going to give it to this guy over here.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're in meetings, even sometimes here on Tuesday nights, the Lord will drop something in my heart. I'll be getting ready to give it. And I'll sit on it for a little bit. And then 2 minutes later, someone else is praying that specific prayer. I'm like, okay, I missed my window. And that's fine. It's learning, right? And sometimes we can do that. It's good in meetings, and sometimes it's good when I'm out in public too. The Lord can drop something. And what does this guy think if I do it? How is this going to respond? That can choke us. Amen? If anyone has that, that's something to really go to the Lord with. I'm reminded of King Saul. Remember King Saul and David. David was a man after God's own heart. And let me just go on this rabbit trail because this is for somebody. And Samuel, when Saul got in trouble with the prophet Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, it says, because you feared man more than you feared God. He didn't act on what God did. He didn't destroy the army. He didn't destroy King Agag because he feared man. He said, I feared the people. And he was stripped from what God had given him because he feared the people more than he feared God. And even if you look later on, in the story of Saul, he tells Samuel in that same sequence, he tells him, he says, would you still honor me in front of my elders? In other words, he cared more about being honored in front of others than he cared about being honored in the heavens. And I think all of us need to come to a place, I need to come to a place, you do too, where it's more important what heaven thinks of me than what man thinks of me. And it's more important of getting the applause from heaven. I always say, Lord, I want to be known in heaven as a friend of God. If no one on earth knows me that way, I want to be known in heaven. The angels to look at me or say, that's a man who's not afraid of man's face. Amen?
Yeah.
And I just, so Lord, just ask for that as a body
of believers here. Lord, this holiday season, this coming year, Lord, that you would deal with us, Father, the fear of man, Lord, the fear of having our voice heard, the fear of speaking up, Lord, when you drop it on our hearts, Lord, that we would be more fear of you, more fear of the face of God, that we would live before you. We would be before man, but we would live continuously before you. Lord, give us that, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you have fear of man, one good thing that's helpful to do, and it's just a tip, is find someone who intimidates you and just pray for them. And separately, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this person? You know, if there's someone at work, I work from home now, and so I was telling someone recently, I wish I worked from home 3 days a week and worked on the job 2 days a week, because I really miss the interaction with people. And I had that when I worked in Norwich. There's one lady in particular I've shared with you about her, and she's grown up in a Catholic church here, and I shared the gospel with her one day. She said, never heard of that before in her life. I said, what a tragedy. And I miss having those moments. But you know what? Sometimes I have to overcome some fear in speaking up in a setting like that. And I always honor the dictates of your job and places like that. But one thing that's helpful if you're intimidated or intimidated situation, you always honor the place where you're at, but pray for them. Holy Spirit, what do you think about this person? What's on your heart for this individual? And Lord, just pray, Lord, give me insight into them. And what that can tend to do, oftentimes we make people bigger than God, fear of man. And I become more afraid of my mindset of whatever I think this person is and what they really are. And one thing you find just praying for someone in your own prayer closet and praying for them and going to God about this individual, I don't know any words, it just kind of humanizes them in a way. And you develop a heart of love. And some of those walls of fear and intimidation that you may have begin to break down. You know, if you're afraid to pray out in settings, you know, like we had here earlier when you split in groups, that's fine. It's okay. But go home and say, look, everyone in that group, and just start praying for them, going to God. Just kind of breaks something down in you, and it gives you a heart of love. And I can see the person through the eyes of Christ. And when I can see that, I have the heart of Christ for them, and I no longer really fear them. I fear the heart of God for them more than I fear what I think they're going to think of me. Amen? So that must be for someone in here, because that's kind of somewhat of a rabbit trail, but that can be a roadblock to having the Lord speak through you. Amen? So no fear of man. Amen? Amen. We fear the Lord's face more than we fear man's face. And if I'm not known, or if no one sees me, I don't have to be honored by other people like King Saul did. Am I honored in the heavens? Amen. Lord will back you up. Amen. I'd rather be backed up by the Lord than man's opinion. Amen. We should always have that mindset everywhere we go and every place that we are. Amen. So I've been speaking on prophetic ministry, and I started on the root of it. And just as a quick reminder, the heart of all prophetic ministry before I can even start to do it is, am I operating in a heart of love, like I said? Is my ministry more about them feeling love than myself? And that's been a prayer I've had lately. It's a prayer for all of us that we would grow in love. Amen. It's a good thing to have. And so prophetic ministry, we talked to him about that last week with the foundations. I have several verses. I'm not going to get through all of this again. I want to give you some practical things. There are some certain guidelines that I'm going to repeat because I want everyone to hear in prophetic ministry. Let me just read with you. You can write this down. You don't have to turn there, but you can listen. In 1 Corinthians 14, he writes, pursue love. There's that love again. We're after 1 Corinthians 13. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Repeating this again, it's important to seek the giver, but it's also important to seek his gifts as well. And people say, seek the giver, not the gifts. It says here, desire spiritual gifts. The gifts is italicized. It actually means desire spirituals. So desire it. Amen? I seek after God, but Lord, I also want your gifts as well. I want you. This one's not exclusive of the other, okay? And I don't like breaking apart. Just do this, just do that. No, I want all the whole package. I want everything. Amen? Especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Remember, we spoke about praying in tongues. It's a mystery. I'm not going to know what I'm saying, and that's normal because I'm communicating with God. Amen? I would encourage you, if you didn't hear that message, by the way, and that's a question that you have, let me know. I want to, those are some very practical points in that that's beneficial to all of us. Okay? Things I wish I knew when I was a lot younger about praying in tongues. It says, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's 1 Corinthians 14:2. The simple prophecies, 14th chapter 14, verse 3, which is what I'm going to focus on. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That's what I call simple prophecy, which is what I'm going to focus on. Okay? All right? And it's a spiritual foundation. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, which we've been in Romans, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. So if I have a gift, Scripture says I should use them, right? Yep. Gifts not good on the shelf. Everyone, every believer, you don't have to be called to be a prophet, but you can and should be prophesying. Okay? If you're, to take the mystique out of it, you remember in Acts when Paul went up to those boys from Ephesus, I think it's in chapter 19, and they never heard of baptism of the Lord, so we've only been baptized into John's baptism, and he baptized them in water in the name of the Lord, and he says they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Amen? Amen. I don't have to complicate it. It's not a spooky thing. It's a normal gift that we should be functioning in. Because as a believer, I think all of you know this, but some of you need to be reminded of it. The Lord speaks to you. If you have the Spirit of the living God within you, unless you're clogging yourself intentionally, even if you are, He's trying to speak to you. And He's speaking to you. Amen. He speaks to you in many different ways. And oftentimes, I was riding home last night, or yesterday from the church, and I was listening to a real, he's a saint, he's a man of God, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Very seasoned. Some of you know his name. And he says, I find myself just praying really simple prayers. Like, Lord, I wasn't aware of you today. This is was a high-profile man of God. I didn't pay attention to you enough today. Lord, I didn't pay attention enough to you today. Simple prayer, right? Lord, I want to be aware of you. Lord, I don't want an hour to go by where my heart's not in tune to you to some degree. Amen? I can have everything going on around me, but I want to be in tune with you. Lord, open my ear that I might hear, Lord, what you're saying, Lord. Open my eyes that I can see what you're doing. Amen. Sheep hear my voice. I only see what I do, what I see my Father doing. As believers, we're called to have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, right? Yeah. Spiritual senses. And so, what I can hear, I can see, and Lord, I want to be alert and aware and attuned to you. Sometimes basics are very important. You look at sports. Sometimes when guys, I remember, the Lord speaks to me with sports analogies a lot because I like sports. And so one of my basketball team I like, they drafted a guy years ago who was a very good player, but he had a horrible jump shot. Terrible. Couldn't shoot the ball. Couldn't shoot like this. So what they would have to do to him, they say, we have to go back to the basics. Sometimes we can get so advanced with things that we forget the basics. If I just go back to the basics, keep my elbow in, release it off top, simple things, proves me so much. And sometimes in our walk with God, we can get carried away, and it's good. I love moving forward in God. But the basics, the simple things. Lord, I want to be aware of you more today. Lord, I want to hear you today. Holy Spirit, what are you saying today? What if we all woke up in the morning, Holy Spirit, what are you saying today? And pick up the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, what are you saying in the Word of God today? Remember, I've never read this before. Holy Spirit, what are you going to tell me in 1 Corinthians 14? What if I'm zealous for this word? Lord, I'm not going to get up from here unless you speak to me to some degree out of 1 Corinthians 14. The simple basics. Amen? That it's very valuable to always go back to. Amen? And basics for us can be different things. You can have foundational truths that are basic. And we can study sanctification, study faith, study grace. Basic foundational truths. Sometimes we can move off of those things. We stop holding on to the head, like from the Colossians. Lord, where are you at in this thing? I'm going off on rabbit trails today. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's the Lord, because maybe some of us need that. What are the basics? What have I not studied in years? What's been 10 years since I've really paid attention to in the Bible? Lord, I want to learn more about righteousness. I want to know who I am in Christ. I want to know those things, foundational things. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It talks about the foundational things. The foundation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm says. Amen? So always go back to the foundations. This is for someone. Foundational, foundational, foundational. What's a foundational? I'm going to build on a good foundation. I'm going to have a higher building. They always say this, the highest buildings have the deepest foundations. Amen? So I never grow beyond foundations. The Lord can show me new things. He can take me to a different level on the floor, but He doesn't get rid of the foundations. And that's happening to our society today as a whole. We lose the foundation of truth. I've shared this before. Ravi Zacharias I love his ministry. And he went to Ohio State University. There's a building they call it the world's first postmodern building. And postmodernism, for those of you who don't know, it basically means, you know, whatever's true to you is true to you. Whatever's true to me is true to me. We don't know. Everything is your truth, basically. I think it was Oprah Winfrey who came up with that. Your truth.
Yeah.
As opposed to the truth. And so he met with a guy at this building. It was all designed in funky different ways. And he said, oh, this is a postmodern building. It makes sense. He said, we don't know where these stairs go. This goes over here. It's all over here. And I was like, yeah, it's postmodernism. And it's Robbie Zacharias. I looked at him and said, I bet you didn't do that with the foundations. And the guy just stopped and looked at him. So what a powerful thing. I can mess with all of this, but my foundation better be secure and better be level. Amen. He who built his house on the rock. Not the sand. Sand's particles of rock. The whole truth. The rock. Okay? Not if the winds come, but when they come. I'll be secure. Amen? All of us have winds in life. We have turmoil. We have different things going on. I had a dream one time. I dreamt I was running, and there was a huge wind blowing at me. I was running, and I couldn't go. The wind was just coming and coming and coming. And sometimes that's the wind of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it can be like even opposition, the winds of the storms. Paul in Acts 20 said a whole chapter devoted to Paul going through a storm. Euroclodon. Why is that? Sometimes there can be storms in life. And if I'm rooted, if my foundations are solid, as I'm speaking, this is for someone. Someone here needs to go back to some foundational things. If your foundations are solid, you're going to be standing in the day of adversity. You'll be standing when winds come, and you won't be moving. You might feel the wind, okay, but you're not moving, and I'm not moving off those things. The people in life who go, I'm always amazed. I have a sister. She has two children, and they're currently dealing with autism. We believe the Lord's going to heal them that completely. But they're currently dealing with it now, and I'm always amazed at her strength. She's good foundations. So things can hit her. She has bad days. Things go on, but she's never moved. And I say, look at you, and I see a woman of God. I see someone who knows who they are in Christ. I see someone who's grounded in who they are. She's not constantly twisted and turned and shaped and moved all over the place. She's secure and she's grounded. Amen?
Amen.
So Lord, give us foundations, Father, the foundation stones in your word, Lord, the foundations of your spirit, Lord, that we would be a people who grow high in you because we have the deepest roots. In Jesus' name, amen. So Lord, give us deep roots. Amen. So I've just had two different sermons that I want to give you. It's a little different than this. I'm not going to go through all of this. If that I have, because I think those two things were for someone. Foundation, someone in here needs it. And if it is you, you can come to me afterwards and I can pray with you as well. I want to start opening up for prayer more after service. And I can even, sometimes we need guidance and help. How do I even get to foundations? And some of us don't even know what foundational things are, and that's okay. And if you come to me maybe privately, we can go through some basic things that can strengthen and secure you. Amen? Amen. So basic prophecy, it should be a couple different things, a few different things. It's edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. And Paul says this, for you can all prophesy one by one that you all may learn and you all may be encouraged. Which means we can grow in our prophetic gift. And I want to say this too, growing in your prophetic gift, practicing, that's not manipulating God. It's like children. I have three kids at home. And Owen knows how to ride bike without training wheels now. But I didn't dare put him out there the first time without a training wheel. He tried, and it didn't go so well, so we put training wheels on, you know, we're going to try full throttle. So the Lord's like that with us, too. When I'm growing any gift, if I'm growing in any area of my life, the Holy Spirit's generally going to give us some training wheels. I also put my kid on the grass when we did it the first time, because if I took him down this road and he falls, he's going to get, you know, bloody kneecaps.
Yeah.
And so the Lord is gentle with us as well, and I can grow, and there's certain things I can do where, you know, the gift of God, the prophetic ministry that the Lord's given me, can grow and flourish. The more I do things in God, just like anything, the better I get. The more I train my spirit, the better I get. The more natural it becomes, right? When I was in Bible school, the guy in our preaching class said, you guys have a preaching gift. If you never preach, it's going to sit on the shelf and rust, and someone else is going to do it for you. So if you have it, take it up and use it. Like I say that about tongues all the time. Don't put it on the shelf. Pray in tongues. Pray out loud in tongues. Worship in tongues. Be in your car in tongues. Okay? Don't put it on the shelf. If you have a gift, any type of gift, He gives them severally as He will. I think that's at least three. We should be moving in the gifts of the Spirit to some degree. Amen? I don't have to send the office of a prophet to prophesy, okay? And it says, one more passage. We know this, Revelation 19:10. It says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So is prophecy, exhort, comfort, edify, and does it point us to Jesus? Amen? All prophecy should be judged. I think I'm going to talk about that later. That's when I give it, and that's when I receive it. I'm not judging the person, but I judge and I weigh the prophecy. Beloved, test all spirits. Amen. In Thessalonians, he talks about, do not despise prophecies. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Do not despise prophecies, but test all things. Let me give a couple definitions of prophecy to you real quick. I'm going to read to you. And I got these from Dennis Kramer. They're good. Prophecy is bringing God's viewpoint to earthly matters. In the broadest sense of the word, it means to speak for another. Okay? Prophecy is the proclamation of a message revealed by the Holy Spirit, suited to the specific needs of the moment, in a language of those who can hear it. It can both console the saint and convict the sinner. So again, it's praying in tongues. I'm praying to God. When I prophesy, I'm going to prophesy to someone else. Okay? Alright? Prayer is us contacting God. Prophecy is God contacting us. Amen? It says this, prophecy is a distinctly supernatural utterance in a known or familiar tongue. Good, effective, passionate, natural speech is not necessarily prophecy. It's just good, effective, passionate, natural speech. It is prophecy only when it is God's supernatural message to us, a message directly inspired by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. And prophecy is a wonderful merging of the divine and the human, a Holy Spirit distributed gift or grace through an inspired, Spirit-filled believer. Whether you know it or not, I can promise you, everyone in here to some degree at some point, because I know all of you in here, God's spoken to you at some point about someone else. Amen? I know He has. Okay? And why is prophecy for today, too? Let me say this. Some people say, you know what, we don't need that because we have the Word of God, and the Word of God's all we need. Prophecy never... All prophecy is judged by Scripture. But if this was all God gave us, then what's the point of God using us in ministry? What's the point of Kevin going to the prison? He would just say, here's the Bible. You guys read it. If he doesn't use people. In the Old Testament, Joshua. Remember when Joshua... I always think of him as I think of Peter. My favorite hymn or gospel album is Elvis. And when Joshua fought the battle in Jericho, I always think of Elvis as a version of that. And get that album if you don't have it. It's excellent. But he didn't get that from the law. He had to hear from God. And when he failed later on in that book, in the Gibeonites, it says because he did not consult with God. All through Acts, the Holy Spirit said, set apart to me Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called to them. Amen. They didn't find that in an Old Testament passage. The Holy Spirit had to speak to them. Remember, Agabus gave the prophecy of the famine. Where did that come from? He didn't find that in Ezekiel. He found that because he heard from the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so I need the word. All prophecy, I'm going to talk about this later. I don't want more people here for this. All prophecy is judged by Scripture. Okay? Prophecy, at times, we get our own mess in it. So it's subjective. This is not. So if someone gives you major cults, if you look at the Mormon church, for example, if you look at people who evangelize Mormons, and you go out, the Book of Mormon, they'll say this. When they're contradicted with Scripture, they say, well, it just feels right to me. It just feels right. And God say, well, is it feel right or is it the Word of God? I don't know, it just feels like it's the right thing. Sometimes I have mixture. Sometimes we have mixture in us, and what feels right necessarily isn't right. And all of us need to understand that. And sometimes people will give. If you've ever gotten a prophecy from someone and it's just it's not the Lord, doesn't match with Scripture, thank you, and move on. I've gotten prophecies before. I have two. You can also obviously put them on the shelf. Two from very seasoned people that I respect, that I put on the shelf. Because I haven't seen anything from it, I'm not dismissing it, but I'm not dictating my life according to it. If it's the Lord, it's the Lord. If it's not, it's not. So we have to have, while the Word of God, we don't supplant the Word of God, God does still speak to us, and we hear Him. And He uses us to speak messages to people. He uses us to... there's some eloquence in there. One of the greatest prophetic words anyone ever gave me one time was a lady that was anything but eloquent. And I remember it to this day. We had a food giveaway at my church. And and if this messes with your theology, then it's fine. But she was actually, I remember giving her food. Or help, I would help pass out food. And she was an elderly woman, and she was having a not appropriate conversation with another elderly man. And I remember listening to it, and I helped her take her food out to her car. And I'll never forget, she stopped what she was doing and just turned and looked at me and gave me this unbelievable word from God that I was like, wow. And then she's like, oh, amen. She drove off. And I'll never forget it. It came from the most unlikely source, and it was powerful. It was God. It wasn't an eloquent thing that she did at all. It was in a car in the parking lot of my church. All these years later, I remember it. So for some of us who aren't eloquent, or if I don't reach the right decibel, or if I don't have the right words, you never know how much someone might need that word that you have for them.
That's right.
Prophecy really helped me in my life. Okay? God's used me with other people that have helped people, and it's been unknown to me. And God's used other people to really help me and aid me quite a bit. And then I had another prophecy counter that, one of the most eloquent. He was prophesying in King James language, and it was just as powerful and just as potent. And I needed it. And God used two different sources, and I thank God that they were open, they didn't fear my face, and they spoke what God had for me to hear. Amen. And so God can speak to all of us, and He does speak to all of us. We need the prophetic ministry, we need those things. I'm going to end with four quick points, and then I'm going to give us something to take home. And I'm going to do activation here at some point, but not today. Four quick points to show how prophecy can work, and I'm going to be very quick with these. there's the prophecy of Scripture, which I've talked about before, and 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, he's speaking of Scriptures, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Like I said, judge prophecy. Elijah list is not the Bible. I think you know that. If you don't know what Elijah list is, I like it. It's a website where they have a lot of prophetic words and stuff. I read it. It's good, but it's not the Bible. Okay? And I say that because some people use it like that. Okay? I'm not turned and swayed and moved by any prophetic words someone gives me. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? If those things confirm something to me, if they edify me, if they point me to Jesus, that's good. And if they're directional, I'm not going to go out of man to try to make it happen. The Lord's faithful to lead me and direct me because I'm a son of God and I'm led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So first and foremost is founded in Scripture. There's also the spirit of prophecy. I mentioned that before. Remember Saul, when Saul was going in and he went to Samuel's school, and they said, Saul also among the prophets. He went into a prophetic atmosphere and environment, and it was easy to prophesy. And that's my heart and prayer for this church. I had a class in Bible school. It was prophetic, it was School of Prophecy, is what it was called. And if you remember Joanne, who was here a year ago, she was the teacher. And I'm going to tell you, that was the easiest. We were in a room a little bigger than that. The easiest place to prophesy I've ever been in my life. You just walk in and you just punch. I don't care who you are. Because it was an atmosphere of the prophetic. Mm-hmm. And we would have something. I would get things and it was easy. It was like slicing warm butter. You know? Where two or three are gathered, I am there. I am in the midst of them. Yes. Amen. And if you're open and if you come in. So if I come into a meeting like this. You know, and I'm open to hearing. I'm open to receiving from the Lord. My prayer should be easy for us to be able to, oh, I got this, and I hear it. And one thing I did, and I'm going to talk about this more next week when we talk about judging prophecy, I remember to this day I got a vision for a guy in that class. I still remember it. I submitted it to Joanne, who was the teacher of it. You know, I feel, you know, there's a proper order to that as well.
Yeah.
Okay? It was the Lord and everything, but that's the spirit of prophecy. All of us, my prayer is that if you, in the driest of dry, you can walk in here and it's easy to start prophesying with someone. That's not complicated. Just, the Lord says, I see this. Amen. Okay? This is the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, to another is given the gift of prophecy by the same Spirit. The more I move in a gift, the more I operate in a gift, the more it becomes a gift. It becomes something that's easy, it's second nature, there's more accuracy. And then we have in fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4:11, the office of the prophet. And my belief is, and I'm not going to teach on this morning, they operate in areas of prediction and correction and things like that, that I think if you don't sit in that office, you should touch. There's a lot of some profound national prophecies even, from national prophets that come true that are amazing because they sit, they are a gift to the body of Christ in that ministry. And I can give you stories and examples. Some of you would know some of them, but some things that no one would possibly know years ahead of time, these men would prophesy it. Amen. And I believe if you're a true prophet of the Lord, there's some prophecies. I was listening to someone recently about Jonathan Edwards' prophecies about New England. Some of those have not come to fruition yet. I believe Jonathan Edwards was a true man of God, a prophetic man of God. And so sometimes there's prophecies that are still sitting out there that say, Lord, I want to be one of those that takes up that mantle and walks in what this man saw all those years ago. Amen? And so I believe those words are powerful and they're life-giving, and you don't have to sit in the office of a prophet to prophesy. Amen? And there's different areas for hearing from God. And I can see mental pictures. I can get a burden for someone. Have you ever gotten a burden for an individual? One time, this was this year, in prayer. And I had an individual in the church. I was praying for them. There was just a phrase that was just dropped in my spirit. It didn't make any sense. It was just a phrase. And I was praying with them. I was like, I don't want to say that phrase because it just doesn't make sense to my prayer. And I finally just slipped that phrase in somewhere in my prayer. just to fit in, to get it out. It was just a phrase that just settled in my heart. And they told me later how much that phrase meant to them from all those years ago. What was that? It was prophecy. It was confirmation of something. It was reminding them something the Lord spoke years ago. I couldn't have known it. I just received it from the Lord in a meeting. I was open to hearing from Him. Sometimes we can see things. Some people get this. I know Oral Roberts was big. Our healing ministry, Randy Clark too. They'll start to feel, you know, like my shoulder hurts. Someone's got a hurt shoulder in the room, you know. Word of knowledge. I don't get that very much. But like Oral Roberts really, really did in his ministry. You know, their whole body began to feel. We had a lady come to our church. She was a prophetic woman of God. And she said, my body is a word of knowledge. And what she meant, she said, you know, my feet's sore. I said, okay, you know, the feet of those who bring good news. I need to share good news with someone today. Amen. So she looks at her body as points where God even speaks to her. And sometimes I do that for myself. My body aches in a place. Okay, Lord, what are you telling me about with that? Lord, just to be prophetic in how God speaks to us in so many different ways. Amen. I think God can speak through whole different assortment of things that I won't get into. But we can hear phrases, we can get burdens for people. When my heart's moved with love, if you ever had that, just a heavy, especially if you're an intercessor, sometimes you'll get a burden. In the scripture, it talks about that, the burden of the Lord fell upon, you know, Ezekiel, for example. You'll get the weight, the hand of the Lord was upon them. That phrase is often in the scripture. And the hand of the Lord was on me there. Oftentimes, if you feel that, just ask yourself, Lord, what are you saying? If the Lord drops James in my heart, there's a heavy burden. Okay, Holy Spirit, what are you telling me about James? How can I pray for James? Right. And sometimes when God says stuff to you, it doesn't mean you have to tell them everything He says.
Right?
Right? That's one of the worst things when we go beyond the anointing and then we blur out everything that we might know. Maybe God just wants to tell you, James, you need to pray for this with James. He doesn't need a prophetic word. He needs prayer. Yeah. Or maybe I can say, you know, he doesn't need this. He just needs someone to put his arm around him next time you see him. And that can be my prophecy to him. Brother, how are you, man? I love you. You doing good? Amen. You know, sometimes it's, you know what? It could be that phrase you have. Does this mean? And if you're wrong, then you're wrong. It's okay. You have the humility to say, you know what? Well, I'll pray about that. Amen? And if you're rejecting someone, you're not rejecting that person. Maybe that just doesn't register. But just be open to hearing and to looking. So what I want to do, this has gone on longer than I want, my thing on prophetic ministry. But I want us to be a house where that is the norm. And it's done with proper protocol and proper, when it's done in an honoring way. Let me say one more thing before I give us our exercise to do on the way home. John Wimber, if you're familiar with John Wimber, I love John Wimber.
Amen.
The way he ministers, he's very, God used him powerfully, and he was so laid back in the way he did things. And he used this phrase, he said to, you know, everyone has different personalities, so you minister how God's personality is to you. But he said to dial it down. And what he meant by that, I don't always have to say, God told me this. Because when you do that to someone, it gives them very little options. Well, what if I don't agree with God? But I say, you know what? I think the Lord's saying this to me. We pray about it. Or, man, the Lord's really put this on my heart. Does this mean anything to you? And I can do it in a way that's honoring, where I'm not pressuring or trying to manipulate. I've seen people manipulated that way. Sometimes all it is someone wants to give you some advice. And they'll say, God told me this. And maybe it's just they're giving advice and they're manipulating by putting God in it. If you know God said it, you'd very well be sure. And you say it with others around so it can be judged. But the prophets speak and 2 to 3 judge, as it says in Corinthians. Like I said, we get our mess in things sometimes. Okay? And so I've said this to people often. It may or may not be the Lord. This is my pastor. I'll say it's prophetic or pathetic. And what that is, it's not showing that I don't hear. What that is coming to you in a spirit of humility. I really believe the Lord's saying this. But you know what? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You go to God with it. You know? And if it doesn't register with you, then then that's fine. Maybe I heard wrong. Maybe it's something 2 or 3 years down the line. But you know what? God really spoke this to me. You know, and John Wimber was excellent at that. You know, he would go in, it's not, God said this and you have to do this. And if you don't do it, then you're not rejecting my word, you're rejecting me. Lord, deliver us from that spirit of rejection. Amen?
Amen.
And I can be humble in that. So what I did, there's an exercise I want us to do. I want to do it here in the church this morning, not this morning, but a different time. But one thing the Lord does with me, He also gives me Bible verses for people. Memorize Scripture. A good prophetic person knows the Bible. Amen? And so, because it has to be judged by the Scriptures. So my challenge to you this week, and you can do it for someone here in this church, you can do it for someone in your family. It's often easier if you're not comfortable with prophecy, if you're not comfortable with saying the Lord is speaking this to me. A good place to practice is in a local church where you're with family who you love and honor and respect you, you know, where I might not be 100% correct and they're not going to rake me over the coals for it. And so, Lord, if there's someone in this church, Lord, and I say, Lord, what do you, first I say, Lord, what do you think about me? And just listen. And it gets you used to hearing from God. Lord, is there a Bible verse in the Scriptures that you think about me? Father, what's your heart? Lord, can you give me a burden this week for someone in our church? Maybe it's someone to pray for. Lord, could you give me a burden for them? Lord, once you do that, Lord, is there a Bible verse? So, Lord, is there a Bible verse you have for James that you think of that I can share? Lord, can you give me a picture? Is there a feeling, an emotional feeling that you have? Is there, because God works in people. I know people very emotional, and God works in their emotions, and people who aren't so much. Is there a physical sensation? Is there a word of knowledge? Maybe it's none of those things. Maybe it's just I'm going to pray, but just, Lord, would you open my ear for this individual today? And maybe next week you come back, or the week after, whenever you see that person. Don't do it off in a corner somewhere, but say, hey, let's go. Man, I was praying for you. The Lord put you on my heart, and I just had this verse for you. Or the Lord said this to me about you. You don't know how that could revolutionize someone's life. It gives you confidence that, hey, I can hear from God because you do hear from God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Some of you know that well, some of you don't. And I'm saying to the ones who don't. Those of you know that, you need to be reminded. Those of you who don't need to know that, you hear from God more than you think. James says, you have not because you ask not. So, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, you desire that we all prophesy. You desire that we all hear from you, and I want to hear from you this week. So, Lord, take one person in my family, maybe it's my spouse, member should edify, comfort, absorb, point them to Jesus, consistent with the Scriptures. So, Lord, take one person, and Lord, I want to hear just something for someone, your heart for someone. Take that home with you. I'm going to do it, okay? I'm not asking you to do something I'm not going to do. And come back and find the person. If you're here at Prayer Tuesday and someone here is going to be in prayer, do that. Is that the Warm Center or the Warm Center? Someone who's not here today that's usually part of our church, because there's several who aren't, that's fine too. But just say, Lord, I want to hear from you. And I want to deliver what you have to say to this person. And realize, just as much as prophecy's helped me in my life, I'm sure it's helped you at some point in your life, you never know what one word can transform someone's life. And one word you share that God speaks to you, maybe it's one passage of Scripture that they read years ago, and it reminds them of something in the season of their life. And God gives you that Scripture, and it's a powerful thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Gone on long enough. So, Lord, I thank you for